First reading today is from Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. Second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be knit together in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been made clear to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And as he walked along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is the good news.
Thank you, God.
Well, let me first ask for grace, because I'm not sure. Matt was very gracious when I arrived and welcomed me, and he said, you use this, the pulpit for some things, and the lectern for others. I'm not sure that I'm on the right side, but I hope that you'll give me grace. That is a Christian practice, so we have that in common for sure. There are opportunities that come our way that can be exciting and possibly once-in-a-lifetime events, like an opportunity to learn something new, or a new job offer, or an opportunity to travel, or maybe just meeting a new person who might become a significant friend, a close friend, or if you're single, a partner. We never know, what's sort of up ahead. We never know what's going to happen in the days to come. Think for a minute about how you found your current job or your last job if you're retired. Think about how things came together and what opportunities opened up that you said yes to. Think about how you met your spouse or your partner. What things came together? What had to happen in order for you to say yes to that person? Think for a moment about how you met some of your closest friends over the years. Right? What had to happen for those friendships to unfold? Right? You had to be open. You had to say yes at some point. In 1996, which now seems very long ago, after finishing up my bachelor's degree, I wanted to serve. I wanted to serve Christ in some way, and an opportunity opened up for me to go serve at the church camp. And I thought that was a good idea, so I said yes. And I went and I lived at the church camp for the summer, and I did all of the things. If you have any experience with church camp, I did all the fun and wonderful things that you do there. And you know who else said yes that summer? Ostomy Matthew, who later would become my husband. And this year we celebrate 25 years. So because I said yes to going to serve at camp, and he in another Meridian church in New York City also said yes, our lives became intertwined. And we celebrate 25 years this summer. We all have stories like that, right? When you sit and you reflect and you think back on your life, stories of saying yes, and because of that, you met someone new, or you have a new opportunity for learning or work or travel, or whatever the opportunity is. It's because you said yes, your life is not the same afterwards. In today's gospel story, Jesus learns, you might have missed this, because this is a familiar story to us, right? The calling of the disciples, but at the very beginning, it starts out with Jesus learning about John the Baptist being jailed. Did you catch that at the very beginning? Jails in that era were especially cruel places. Not that they are now, but they were especially cruel in that time. And Jesus would have known immediately when he heard that John was taken to jail, that John had a very high possibility of losing his life in that prison, that he would not leave that prison alive. And consequently, this would have been very troubling to Jesus to learn about this. John was a cousin, a friend, an encourager, a prophet for him. And it is in that moment when Jesus learns this, and I suspect, his heart is touched, is bruised by this. It is in that moment that Jesus goes out and begins calling disciples. Jesus goes to the shoreline where the fishermen fishermen are about their daily work, right? Very mundane daily work. Get up, go catch the fish, bring them back. This is what they do. This is how they live. And along comes Jesus, giving them an opportunity to say yes to, right? Or to say no. And I'm going to read a couple verses that we just heard so you can hear this again. As he walked along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went from there and he saw two other brothers, James and his brother John, both sons of Zebedee, in the boat with their father, mending their nets. He called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father. And their father, that always hurts a little, right? And they followed Jesus. So Jesus has four disciples. He's learned that John the Baptist is in prison, and he has moved directly down to where he would find fishermen, and he calls four of them, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. And off they go, leaving everything behind them. They said yes. It doesn't specifically say that they said yes, but at some point they said yes. They either said yes with their feet, right, just by leaving everything and following Jesus, or they said, "Yes, I will come with you. Yes, I will follow you." And it might seem quite sudden, right, that Jesus just shows up, invites, and off they go. But the larger story, sort of stepping back from this particular moment, the larger story is that those men would have been aware of Jesus in their community, and his presence would have caused a stir. It's a community, just like ours, with people eager to share interesting news. So they would have likely heard about Jesus, had several contacts with Jesus, and listened to him preach and teach, or at least heard about him preaching and teaching and what he was up to, before they said yes to follow him that day. So Jesus called, and they responded. They literally follow him. They walk off with Jesus, and they are never the same again. It is a once-in-a-lifetime event, right? It's an opportunity to be a part of the movement of God and what's happening in that moment. What if they had said no, right? What if they had said, "Actually, I should probably stay here and keep getting these fish"? There's an honesty in that, but they didn't say no. They chose to follow Jesus, and their lives were never the same. It's a beautiful passage, and it reveals the depth of the commitment that the disciples have. They're willing to set aside their safe routine, and they're willing to go with Jesus into the unknown. Hear this passage, brothers and sisters in Christ, as an encouragement to us today in this era, to be bold in the practice of our faith, to say yes when we feel Christ encouraging us and calling us. Jesus changes things. Peter, Simon, James, and John found clear direction that day. They took decisive action, sat down what they were doing, and followed him. May we be so bold to follow Christ. May we be that bold. May we turn from the things that keep us from Christ, right? And you think, well, what keeps me from Christ? I'm in church this morning, right? What keeps me from Christ? Well, I think the things that keep us from Christ are jealousy, resentment, grudges, right? We all have these pieces in our past, or these pieces that are part of us that are really hard to let go of. People that we're jealous of, situations that we're jealous of, resentments from people treating us poorly in the past, or perceived as poorly, grudges that we may have from long ago. Those are all things that keep us from saying yes to Christ, because we continue to hold them. Sometimes we polish them and hold them up to the light. Look at this, right? Those pieces of ourselves that we aren't willing to let go. When we put them aside and we allow Christ to hold them, to carry them, to deal with them, we're more able to move forward, to release those things to Christ, and then to follow Christ where he may lead. I invite you today, as we consider this saying yes, this calling that Jesus did, to release every barrier, to set aside, to give to Christ in prayer, to give to Christ whatever is holding you from saying yes to the next thing, whatever is keeping you from being more fully alive and able to follow Christ. Allow Christ to hold it and be free to walk off. Just walk off and engage with Jesus in new and ever deeper ways. I like to close my reflections or sermons with a poem. I don't know if Pastor Todd is big on poems. If you don't like poems, just rest assured I'm only here today. I'll be back with Moravians next week. This is a beautiful poem. This is by Mary Oliver, and it speaks of our one beautiful life, this beautiful life that we have been gifted. So I invite you just to hear it and enjoy it. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one that has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth, who is gazing around with enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is, but I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? I offer you this reflection on this passage from Matthew, Jesus calling the disciples, and a poem from Mary Oliver, for Christ's sake and in his name. Amen.